So I'm just that type of individual that I am going to voice my opinion, and I really don't care what anyone think, because I'm not going to talk out of foolishness. And the reason why I might be voicing my opinion or asking for more understanding is because I would like to know more about the situation. The only time a person really have a problem with that is when basically they're trying to pull the wool over your eyes. And we have a lot of that going on in the world today. But, you know, like, it's like, really think about it. Like, it's so easy to lie to people. It's so easy. Like, it's so bad that people, they will lie. They will lie to you. They will tell you whatever they want you to know. In the same voice, act like this is liquid gold that they're giving you. This is vocal gold that I'm giving you, and you need to take this. And if you don't, that is your fault. No, that's not how it works. Like, how is it that we can do that to people? And this is something I need us to understand. So, you know, back to talking about making money, right? So, I actually, you know, went to the bank and was talking to a banker, right? And I'm going to tell y'all the crazy thing, right? So, I went knowing what I needed to know in order to preface what I'm about to say. So, I went to the bank looking to my bank where I get my direct deposit. I got my savings and things like that, right? The bank that when I made a lump sum of money, I got a transfer to this institution. And one of the things that kind of upset me, and I know what my credit score is, and which is really nice, you know, nowadays or whatever, because I've been working on my credit. But I went to the bank and, you know, basically told them, listen, all right, I have a credit card with y'all, and it's no real money, right? Have a credit card with y'all, and I want a credit increase, which should be simple, because most banking institutions, if you make sure you pay your payment on time for the betterment or any part of, you know, let's say 7 months, 6 months. I've had this card for every bit of probably a year, maybe some change. So I said, you know what? Let me get an increase. You know, I've actually gotten offers for higher limit credit. That's why your car looked like that, miss. Higher limit credit cards. But you know, some of the APR, if anybody know what that is, APRs and stuff like that, this was a little too high. The interest rates was a little higher than what I wanted. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, if all these places are, think about it, all these places are offering you credit cards, obviously they see your credit as a value to them, because they know you, they see your history. They're like, oh, wow, this boy been paying his bills on time for the last 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Anyway, so, you know, I went to them and they said, oh, we can't give you that much of an increase. We can give you this, but we can't give you that. I said, well, why would I want that? And I have that times 100 in my account. Why would I want that? So I had to tell the person. I said, listen, right? I said, either talk to the people who makes the decisions in the credit department. Y'all see how much money I make, because my direct deposit from my job goes here. Y'all see how much money I make. I need you guys to either let me know today, you know, if you listen, I don't see why you can't do this, because I have a card at the, you know, with this amount in it. So listen, this is what we're going to do. Either you're going to approve this amount, and I had to go through the ringer. I had to go through the ringer to get this talking point. But I basically was like, you know, listen, I need you guys to either, excuse me, whoo, had to sneeze. I apologize. I need you guys to either approve this, or I'm probably going to strongly consider moving my banking my money that comes into this bank that I know you guys use. I'm going to move my savings from this bank that I know you guys use, or whatever the case is. I'm going to take my money and I'm going to put it into my credit union, who has given me a credit card with the amount of money that I'm asking from y'all. And I've had a longer relationship. I've had this bank for 12 plus years. So y'all going to tell me that y'all can't do this? And there's no real reason why I can't. So either we going to work something out, or guess what? Y'all going to be giving me either a big check or a big duffel bag full of money. Y'all can put it in a plastic bag. I don't care, because I'm going to just take it to my other financial institution. Oh, Mr. Bryant, we don't want that to happen. We don't want you to leave us. You've been a value customer. Nah. I had to stop him right there. I said, well, I'm not that much of a value customer, because if I was that much of a value customer, you would value what I'm asking for. I've built my part of the relationship. I've stayed faithful for years to this bank. So either I'm going to get something from it, or I'm going to move somewhere to where someone appreciates me more. So, you know, the bank, they bring in the GM and all this stuff. Sir, listen, this is what we can do. We want to first apologize. Listen, we will call our corporate crediting department and strongly urge them to grant your request, or whatever the case may be. And I, even with him, I said, listen, I'm not coming here because I'm not no snake oil salesman. I'm going to show you, huh? Look at this app. You see this? Bang. Go to this next app. You see this? So listen, I have no issue getting what I want from other places. Why do I have the issue getting what I want from the source that should be giving me, that I put all of my valuable assets into? What's going on here? He said, I totally understand. I said, listen, and I even brung my, I know what credit report y'all use. Y'all use TransUnion. Look at this number. My TransUnion is good. So I don't see what's going on. So, you know, make a long story short, or whatever the case is, they got 48 hours. They got 48 to 72 hours to either grant my request, or I am going. And I told them, I said, listen, I don't want to seem cocky. I know this isn't millions, or whatever the case is, but trust me, it'll be millions very soon. It's going to be millions very, very soon. And if y'all don't play ball, then these millions is going to go somewhere else where they are appreciated more. He, sorry, sir. Oh, please let me walk you to your car and everything, right? So I'm all like, yeah, whatever, dude. I don't really, and I know it's not him, but I'm like, you know, whatever. So as he walking me to my car, he says, sir, listen, I don't know why they denied your request. You know, you meet the criteria. You already have a credit card with us. Your utilization rates are low. You know, your utilization levels are low, whatever the case may be. Listen, we're going to do our best to get this. You know, my credit utilization rates are low. So it's like, there's no real reason why you got like why y'all denying me? It was just, listen, I would have took the fact that they, like, you know, right now we're at a strained market. We're in a strained market. And we can't really, you know, give a credit out of this much. I ain't even go there asking for a loan. And you know what's the craziest thing? That's funny that I just brought that up, because I need to give y'all the whole thing. I need to give y'all all the context. He told me, listen, I can approve you for a loan of this much times two. So I was like, hold up, wait a minute. And you know, y'all, if anybody ever got a personal loan or whatever, y'all already know that personal loan rates are bananas. Absolutely bananas, right? So he said that we can do a credit loan application and I can approve it right now. I said, man, please. But he said, listen, I have no, so this is why he walked me to my car. I'm like, yo, I don't want no loan. I said, I got the money in the bank. I'm like, why? I'm like, it doesn't make sense. That's what I keep saying to him. I'm like, yo, it don't make sense that y'all, you know, that you couldn't approve it, or, you wouldn't approve it or whatever the case may be. And I was getting the credit card for a specific reason. You know, I'm like, you know, I just don't understand why, you know, like, I'm sorry, but hey, I don't understand why. And you are not giving me the explanation or a good enough reasoning behind why. So, you know, like I said, they got 48 to 72 hours. I'm gonna give them 2 to 3 days. And, you know, we're going to see, you know, we're going to see if, you know, if they come through. We're going to see if they come through with the come through, or if, you know, I'll be moving my financial institution, if I'll be moving my bank. But, you know, I say all that and I go on that rant for the fact of the matter is that a lot of us, especially Black people, man, we gotta learn our value. We have to really learn our value, because a lot of times, you know, we listen, and this is not race. I'm not being racial, but it can help. Trust me, it's partially, it definitely plays a part sometimes. But, you know, and it's known, statistically is known, that sometimes banks, you know, they like that's kind of like why he wanted to give me the loan, because he knew that he could make more money off the loan. Because he know that, all right, well, you know, if he only spending a little bit of money on this credit card and he pay it off, then we really can't make no money. But if he get this loan and however he want to pay it, you know, we're going to get money, you know, a few different ways. But us as Black people, you know, we gotta learn and realize that a lot of times, you know, these, you know, people, they're going to use... You know, they're not going to respect you unless you make them respect you. You know, you put your money in the bank. And believe it or not, I already told myself that, you know, I'm dead serious. Like, in the bank, I'm going to keep my mortgage times maybe 3. I'm going to keep my mortgage. I might do 4 months. I might do about four or five months. Because, you know, anybody can pretty much get out of a jam in 4 or 5 months. So I'm going from here, like starting the next year, I'm going to only keep my mortgage times 4 in the bank, 4 or 5 months. I'm not 100% sure yet is what I want to do, but I'm going to keep my mortgage. You know, I might keep my car note in there too, the same amount of time, but I'm going to keep that amount of money in there. And I'm taking the rest of my money, the rest of my finances, and they're going into different parts of my portfolio where I can just constantly invest. I'm going to constantly be investing. Whenever an investment pays off, I either pull, or if it's long-term, I don't even look at it. But I'm going to just basically, you know, move things around, because a lot of us have money sitting in accounts. A lot of us have, you know, our life savings sitting in these banks, and these banks are not giving us anything for us holding our money in their institution. Listen, I didn't go to college for this, you know, and people, when I was a kid, people just told you that, oh, you know, don't mess up your bank account, don't mess up your credit. Yeah, that's very true. But these bank accounts, man, listen, trust me, the time we live in now. And they never taught us that, oh, it's places that you can put your money that's like a bank, but that's basically where the banks put their money at. They never told us that kind of stuff. They only want us to know what they want us to know. I'm telling you, when I had my first child, I would never teach my child something valuable and invaluable at the same time. Unless they're using it for their benefit. And if it ain't got no benefit... If it's not going to yield a benefit, then I'm never going to tell my child. Whenever God bless me to have a child, I'm never telling my child about something and telling them to base their entire life or base your entire knowledge or knowing around this. Nah, we're not doing that over here. We're not doing that over here, because a lot of times it's just, you know, it's reckless out here. And those without knowledge, good luck. You know, those without knowledge, good luck. You know, and if you got knowledge, but see, I was reading a book, right? I read a book, Mastering the Game of Money. Mastering the Game of Money. The author of the book is Tony Robbins. And there's a statement in the book that says, knowledge without, I believe it said knowledge. Knowledge without execution is ignorance or slavery. It says something like that. But to the point of what it's saying is, it's saying that, listen, you can have all the knowledge. You can know something, but if it's no point of me executing it, if it's no avenue for me to execute this knowledge or execute this information I've been jamming in my brain for years and years and years and years, then there's no reason for us to even be talking. Listen, a lot, you know, like, don't listen, don't. Do your due diligence. Don't allow nobody or nothing to be out here just telling you whatever you want to hear. Don't allow nobody or nothing just giving you parts and bits and pieces of information and telling you that, like, this is the gold standard. Like, it's no reason for it. Listen, it's too many. We have too many places where we can do enough research. Everybody that's probably listening to this podcast is absolutely listening to it on some form of smartphone or smart technology. And when I say smartphone or smart technology, what I'm saying is a device that you can access the world, the World Wide Web. Or whatever. You have access to wealth of information. Listen, we have to be intentional in executing sound knowledge and something that's going to benefit you in the long run. Something, may, you know, let it be whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't, you know, it doesn't matter what. If it's going to make you, if it's going to help you sustain and sustain your family and your kids and the generation that come after you, then by all means, do it. Like, if you know that, okay, this is what I need to do, this is what I need to, I need to invest in it, this is what I need to get out, da-da-da-da-da, yada-yada-yada, then do so. But don't sit back, you know, like, don't sit back and you know, and not be a good steward over your money. You know, I made a statement a while back and said that, you know, we know what the Bible say when the Bible, you know, some people know and some people don't. But the Bible tells us that, you know, work, you know, faith without works is dead. Absolutely. You can't only have faith without the works. You know, we got to teach people that. Basically meaning, and I got this, you know, I understood this, that, you know, listen, I'm giving my 10%, but I'm not putting no work behind it. I had the faith, but I didn't put no work behind it. So what did I do? I started to not only give my 10%, but I also started to make, you know, the knowledge and my faith work for me. So I had to believe, okay, I gave my 10%. So I can't just think that, oh, this is going to happen. But if it's somewhere else, I have to take the knowledge and activate my faith in order for it to work, then that's when God will put his hands in the pot. What did I do? I was a giver. I'm still a giver. You know, I just sent my, and it's funny the way I do it. I'm not going to put that on here because, you know, I don't want to make nobody that mad. But anywho, so what I did, I got into investing, right? Got into investing. Like I said, you know, made a little bit of money or whatever the case may be. And, you know, so I had faith. So I gave my 10%. I gave my tithe and my offering. Now, that's my faith. I gave that, and then I put a petition on heaven and said, God, I'm also putting something into this over here. See, the fact of the matter is, see, what a lot of churches is not teaching people is, okay, listen, give your 10%. That's what, listen, give your 10% in your offering. God is good with you. But the principles with they don't really teach you is that you need to put a, you need to put a petition on the offering. Because if you're not putting a petition on which, you know, on your gift or on your seed, if you're planting a seed, you're expecting a tree or a flower or a plant to grow. It's the same thing when you give unto God. When you give unto God, you need to put a petition. God, I'm giving this because you demanded it. You demanded it. So I am demanding you to bless this thing that I'm doing in the marketplace. That's what I did. I told God, I said, God, I'm giving this seed. One day I told him, God, I'm giving the seed and I need you to put your hands on it. I'm giving you this because, and I'm expecting this because you said you wasn't a liar or man, you cannot lie. Well, let me see you hold true to your word. And a lot of people may look at that like, oh, you talked to God like that? I absolutely did. You know why? Because God basically said what he said. God told us, put me at my word. You know, you want the smoke? Go, try me. Let me see how much faith you got. Okay, and guess what? I did what I did, and I got what I got. Did what I did, and I got what I got. Because the reality of it is, I'm a firm believer of God being joyful when we take him at his word. God probably was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. Put me to the test so I can show you, so you can show these fools out here what to really do. And of course, you know, if someone let their, you know, preacher, reverend, prophet or whatever hear this, that, you know, some might agree and some may not, you know. And hey, listen, we could bring the accounts to the table, come correct. But the reality of it is, listen, we should be teaching this thing all the way around the board. We should be teaching it in school. We should be teaching it at home. We should be teaching it in our faith-based institution. We should be teaching it. Listen, we should be seeing signs of it when we go to these restaurants and eat. Oh, you do know if you dollar cost average down and when you get this meal for your whole family, then if you use this certain technique, whatever the case may be, you can use this. And then guess what? You'll get your meal at a discounted rate. Everywhere. Your money should be valued. Everywhere. Your dollar, I mean, even though the dollar ain't about worth nothing, you know, and some of y'all are not going to find that out, because listen, the reality of it is, the market that we are in, the marketplace, the, you know, the market we're investing in, all that kind of stuff, which kind of control, you know, your little bit of money in the Nike shoebox, or your little bit of money that you got from Sunday service, from preaching or playing the drums, that ain't about to be worth nothing soon. Is not, the dollar is becoming so devalued that I'm telling you, by the year 20, this is almost 2022, by the year 2025, the market is going to crash again like it did in 2008, I believe, 8 or 2007. The market is going to crash and people are going to either survive, they're going to be either prey, they're going to be either predator or prey. And listen, that's just real. That is just real. I'm not trying to give you no, I'm not trying to scare nobody or nothing, but it's just the reality. It's just the reality. Why do you think the markets and stuff like that? And I'm not talking about Giant or Acme. I'm talking about money. You know, why you think they've been allowing people to make all this money? You know, all these come-ups and all these gains. Like, how do you think, same with me. Like, how do you think these things are possible? Because they know that, listen, the well going to run dry soon. The well is going to be about ran dry soon. And a lot of people, you know, the wealthy knows it. but you have a lot of unwealthy people who are ignorant about money. And I'm saying that because, oh, I was one. I knew how to make money, but I didn't know the value of money. And that's just a real reality. I didn't know the value of the money I made. A lot of money then came through my hands. A lot. I didn't really know the value of it though. I didn't know how important that money was. I didn't realize that, you know, how hard it really was to make money, or how, where money really came from and things of that such nature. I didn't really know. And a lot of us are just chilling by the wayside thinking that someone is going to throw us a bone or a helping hand. Nah, it's not happening like that. Listen, I'm ranting, I'm raving. Listen, I just hope that you and yours are prepared. I hope you and yours are prepared for whatever is next, what's going to happen next, and what takes place next. Listen, I want to appreciate you all for listening to me. I'm your boy, Gary. I'm your man, Gary, from the Stirring the Pot podcast. I appreciate you for listening. I hope something that I said in this car vibes, just talking, just talking as I was driving, helped you. If you want to know more, or you want to ask questions, listen, you can leave a message on the podcast platform, or you can leave a message on my Instagram. I actually have an Instagram page for the podcast. It's called The Stirring the Pot Podcast. You can go like, share, and follow me on Instagram, or you can go over to Facebook and the same thing. At my personal Facebook, the great Gary Bryant Facebook. Or you can even go follow the Stirring the Pot podcast Facebook group. Whatever fits your fiddle. Whatever one you prefer. Whatever one you like. Listen, you guys be safe. Do your due diligence. Be smart. And y'all have a good night. Peace. What up, what up, what up, what up, everybody? You are now rocking with the Stirring the Pot podcast. This is an installment that I like to call Car Vibes. Car Vibes. And some of you might be saying, you know, what's Car Vibes? So sometimes when I am traveling, sometimes when I am driving, going to work, coming home from work, or just in my travels, I'm sometimes led to vibe with y'all. So sometimes you're going to get these small segments, you know, these little 20-minute conversations, 30-minute conversations, depending on the duration of my car ride. I actually started this maybe about 5 or 10 minutes late. But I wanted to vibe with y'all real quick. So, you know, I had a few thoughts, you know, random thoughts, but I think very prevalent thoughts. And, hey, listen, I'm going to kick them to you guys, and I hope that something that I say resonate, something that I say kind of help, or kind of, you know, give you some kind of motivation, or make you feel like, yo, you know, that dude, he's speaking to me, you know. Because listen, I am an avid podcast listener, right? I am avid when it comes to listening to podcasts, and I get a lot of motivation, you know. I get a lot of different motivations. I get a lot of things that, believe it or not, kind of untrap my thinking process and get my creative juices going. So, you know, so I was at Starbucks and I was just kind of chilling. I had the last few days off, thank God. But while I was at Starbucks, I was doing a lot of different research. A lot of people don't know, especially us in the Black community. A lot of us don't, you know, we're just getting into, you know, the whole investing thing, or at least I am. You know, I can't speak for everybody, but I know that I'm not the only dude that's getting into this. You know, I'm not even a year in yet, you know. But luckily, and I know this doesn't happen for everybody, but I've actually made money. And I'm not talking about no little, you know, few pennies and stuff like that. You know, like, I got lucky, you know, put some money somewhere. So did my brother, because he's kind of the one that put me on. And he's new. So it's like, you know, we got lucky, just to, you know, make a long story short. We got lucky and, you know, hey, that's all I can say. Sometimes when you strike gold, you know, sometimes good things happen for you. But, you know, one of the things I thought about, like, I was reading certain things about President Biden, and trust me, this is not a political podcast, but just hear me out. So I was reading stuff about President Biden and Kamala Harris and stuff like that, and I'm gonna just be real with y'all. I didn't vote for them, you know, but that's all I'm gonna say about that. I didn't vote for them because I didn't really like the stance that they were going for. To be totally honest, I'm not real big on politicians. I feel like politicians are deceivers. Politicians are a lot of politicians are snake oil hustlers. What they do is they compel a message to people, and within that message, they get something that they want, which is your vote. Once they get your vote, they go along with their agenda. And the agenda that they go along with is the agenda that basically dictates to the pleasure of the individuals who put money into their campaign. You know, like you got, it's a hustle almost. You gotta make smart moves. Like, you know, let me break it down in layman's term. Listen, if you're a dude that's in the street, sometimes you have to hustle and do things with people you don't like, but it's a hustler's mentality. And a hustler mentality doesn't mean that you are a killer gorilla. You are just a person that know how to get what you want out of other people or out of a situation. I digress. So with me saying all that, you know, I like just listening and looking at them, it's like, I'm like, you know, I was like, hey, you know, people get people to endorse these people because they got bamboozled or hoodwinked. And I just feel like it's wrong, because just imagine how many people got influenced by somebody that they trust to actually vote for these people, who basically just the same thing with mostly any other people in office. You know, they get your vote, you know, they hustle you out of that. Because they know that it's easy, you know, like, a lot of times, you know, politicians and stuff, they know that people are going to live, because a lot of people, only research they do is watching the news. That's the only source of things that's going on in the world that they digest, is listening to the news. They feel like, hey, I listen to the news, I know everything going on, because these people can't lie to us. And you are a stone cold dummy for believing that. Now, listen, I don't mean no disrespect when I say that. But maybe me saying that will help you understand that you have to be smarter or be more intentional when you start doing things. Listen, some of us don't know that. For real, in order to get your vote, these people need to be doing what they said they were doing beforehand. Like, these politicians, man, they went to church. Let me just give it a bean. Listen, yeah, and I'm bringing it up. And if you don't like it, hey, listen, you know where to find me. You know my social media handles. Come get with me. Talk to me. We can have a talk. I've never been afraid to have no talk, because we know we're not doing nothing else more than that. Or at least, you know, you know better. But the reality of it is, so when they was campaigning, you know, I'm talking about they was at faith-based organizations, the churches. They didn't go to the mosques and stuff like that, because they knew the Muslims would hold them accountable. They didn't play that in certain communities because they knew. But they knew if we go to these churches, you know, where a lot of people are, you know, they're used to being told things and nothing really comes from it. So why you think politicians go to churches? Because the same way that y'all would listen to a preacher tell y'all whatever, is the same way that a politician can come tell y'all whatever and we'll listen to it. So, you know, and like, you know, please don't get mad at me. Just hear me out. So nowadays, you know, and I know I'm not the only person that feel like this, but it's so easy to a lot of people nowadays that they don't even have to disguise the lie. They're going to tell you the lie. It's so easy. They're going to tell you the lie, and they're so bold now, knowing that you're not going to do your due diligence. You're not going to do your research, that they're going to tell you the lie, shove it in your face, and they're not even going to really hide it. They're just going to say it in a different way that either you're not going to understand or that they just know that you're not going to do any due diligence to understand. It's so easy to lie to people now, and it's not cool. You know, like, I'm a man that's held by the majority of his convictions. I can't, like, I put a post up on Facebook yesterday and said that I would never teach someone about something that's valuable and invaluable at the same time. Because at the end of the day, if it's valuable and if the inviolability outweighs the valuableness from it, the value from it or of it, then you're going to be God. You know, a lot of people be like, oh, you know, I think a lot, you know, I get a lot of, you know, inboxes and stuff, and people be like, yo, bro, you was talking that stuff. Like, yo, like, seriously, like, I really respect what you be saying. I really respect what you're talking about. Because one thing, I've always been like this. I am.